It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
That's right, it's the Michael K. Show.
We're here. We're having a very serious conversation.
If you could do what we were just doing off the air, on the air, I'll tell you what.
That'd be something.
Well, text me. Make me a part of it.
Well, it's a world issue problem. It has nothing to do with sports. And we both make compelling points. I think I do. He doesn't think I do.
No, not particularly compelling. But I still enjoy the... What I like about it is that unlike most of the world, we can argue and have a strong disagreement about it and then just come back and say, hey, all right, let's do our show now. We don't have to say I hate the person. I'll never be able to speak to you again. We just can disagree and continue to move on.
The Gerrit Cole situation, the Post reporting he's out a month to 2 months. The Yankees are not saying that he's going to get more opinions. And then this is the latest from Aaron Boone, said Gerrit's as smart as they come. He's just trying to process all of the information as it comes in and obviously having necessary conversations with our trainers, our doctors, his people, his family. So I think he's still in the information gathering portion too of what's the final diagnosis here. What's the course of action? Anybody, please help me out here, everybody. Anybody who can read anything positive into that statement, nothing. Please tell me what positive I should read, Don.
No, there's nothing positive. Matter of fact, it's all negative, trying to be spun as a little bit of an olive branch, if you will, of truth to see if there's any way there could be any positivity spun from it. Can't do it. Michael, when you hear that and getting talking to your family and getting advice, that tells me he should have Tommy John. And he's trying to find avenues in which to avoid Tommy John.
But there's other reports are saying that there's no tear in the ligament. So it's not Tommy John. Maybe it's a flexor tear. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But sooner rather than later, the more information gathering you get, God forbid, if it leads to surgery, Don, you're missing next year.
Right. All I know is that it just seems like a really lengthy time to figure things out. 1 to 2 months. All right, what happens at the end of the 2 months? What is healing? If they don't know exactly what it is, what's exactly healing?
How does whatever's happening in there, the magic number is 1 to 2 months. So if they're considering ways to deal with it, I can't understand how you could come up with 1 to 2 months. And another thing that gets me, and I don't want it to seem like I'm defending the Yankees. I'm defending all teams that do this. You know, I see fans on Twitter, they're so upset. Why don't the Yankees just tell us the truth? What are they going to give medical information out to you for? For what reason?
For the reason for is it's public. We as fans deserve to know, if not exactly what's wrong, what's the timetable of the return?
When you say deserve, this is private medical information. You don't have to know anything.
You'll know when they're
ready to say it, when Gerrit Cole's ready to let it out.
Okay, but I understand that. Like, maybe it's none of my business. Like at the upper body, lower body. Maybe it's no business of mine to know exactly what's wrong. But as a paying customer, as a part of a fan base, I deserve to know how long that player is going to be out.
You'll know soon enough, but they want to know yesterday.
I get it. But
there's a lot of layers to this, Don.
But I also don't need, because it's funny, Michael, right? And again, I'm not blaming it on the Yankees. It's everybody. They claim it's none of your business, but they still have to put information out there. It's not like they just say, oh, Cole's not pitching. We'll let you know when you need to know. I mean, they do understand that information has to be given in some way, shape, or form. We just don't want misinformation. You know, we don't want to hear, he's going to be okay, or he's going to go for an MRI, but he should be out just a couple of weeks, and then find out that it's going to be, you know, more than that. That's what ends up happening. You know what? Don't tell us anything until it's time to tell us something, but don't also feed us a line of bull either. Like, I do feel like they want to play the PR game. We got to give you information, but we're not going to give you the right information. I'd rather no information than to be led down the primrose path, right?
Well, but again, people are clamoring for information, so they're giving out as much information as they possibly can, as much as the player allows them to. The player dictates this because of HIPAA laws. You do not have to give out the information until you can't give out the information. Now, if you want to say the Yankees fudged something, we took Aaron Judge out over the weekend. You know, it's just normal. It wasn't normal. Oh, there was something going on.
Come on. But, Michael, can we stop with the HIPAA laws, okay? They'll make it seem like the players don't want the public to know. It's the team that wants to keep it quiet.
No, I don't think the player. Oh,
but,
I know so, for a fact,
so, but your
players
speculation
we don't
is
want it
that,
out.
Your speculation is that Boris, who is Cole's agent, leaked the story that he's out 1 to 2 months. So then that's okay.
I'm not saying anybody leaked it out. I'm saying that the guy who reported 1 to 2 months happens to have a very good relationship with Scott Boras. Whether Boras gave it to him or not, I'm not sure.
Right, I don't know either. But there's speculation
and
that
also,
it was leaked out by Cole's people.
You would think that everybody in baseball would know that something's not great with Gerrit Cole right now. But do the Yankees want it out there? Do the Yankees want it out there where they say, oh, by the way, he's going to miss this year and most of next year?
Right.
Of course not. Then it's going to take away any, even the slightest bit of leverage that they have.
And I'm not arguing that point. I'm arguing the pack of HIPAA laws like the players don't want the information. It's the team that doesn't want the information
out. No, Don,
I'm
telling you. I've heard stories of managers that were handcuffed, that were not allowed to say it because the player said, I don't want that out.
All right, that might have happened. I don't know if that's the case most of the time. Most of the time, I think it's the team that doesn't want to lose leverage in negotiations to find some other player to replace him or give out information to the general public that could be used against them that they might have lost their best player for the year. I think it really most likely, in most cases, the silence comes from the team. They might hide behind the HIPAA law to say the player doesn't want us to divulge that information. Most of the time, it's the team that doesn't want it out there.
Okay, whatever. If you want to point fingers at the teams, whatever, the team is in this to win. And now it's a very delicate operation that they have to walk a tightrope because it's also very clearly the entertainment business. So you have a fan base that pays the bills. But giving out information on a player's injury before you want to, how does that help you win? Everything they do is geared toward how does it help us win?
That's why I don't mind the whole upper body, lower body here in hockey. All right, you don't have to tell me what the injury is. I just want to know how long he's out. Jacob Trouba's got a lower body injury. Do I need to know if it's a knee, if it's an ankle, if it's a thigh? I just want to know he's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks. You know, that's all I think the fans care about is give us a timetable. Let us know what's going on here. And I do think sometimes you do feel like the information starts out positive, we're going to see, and then it gets leaked out, it's a little bit longer, and then the worst case scenario ends up coming out when you know from the get-go they knew exactly what was wrong and exactly how long he was going to be out. That's what frustrates me.
I guess I could see why fans are frustrated, but for them to demand that the Yankees give out all, or any team gives out all the information on injury, again, how does that lead to winning? That's why we've been ripping Aaron Rodgers today. How does this vice presidential lead?
Yeah.
How does that lead to winning? Everything should be pointed toward winning.
Yeah.
How does it lead to the ultimate goal of winning a championship? Giving out information, you want your fans to be satisfied, but giving out specific information on an injury before you want to does not help you win. It just doesn't.
No, so and I would not have a problem. Maybe some fans would, but me as a fan, not a media member, not a talk show host, as a fan, I could rather live with, we don't know yet. We'll let you know when we know.
But then fans don't like that either.
They don't like it, but at least, all right, we don't
know.
But what I don't like is when you're fed a little positivity, maybe we'll see. And then a week later, you know what? It's going to be longer than we thought. You know what? He's out for the year. Like, so I'd rather just not know any. Don't tease me and make me think that it's okay when it's really not okay.
This is an interesting story that just came out from Pro Football Talk. Yesterday, Penn State head coach James Franklin suggested that the Eagles GM Howie Roseman spoke directly to Saquon Barkley during the negotiating period, which would violate the tampering rule. On Wednesday, the Eagles said they only speak to player agents. Now, will they commandeer?
What did he say?
You can't say anything.
No, but what did he say? What was the actual, how did he imply it?
Who?
Penn State's.
He just said he suggested that the Eagles GM spoke to Barkley.
But what does that mean, that, suggested?
He must have said something that, Roseman spoke to Barkley. You can't. But you can speak to agents. It's the dumbest phrase in the history of the world, legal tampering. It's an oxymoron. Legal tampering. Tampering, it's illegal.
That's right. Right, right. But I mean,
well, Don, Giants could get a draft pick out of this.
But Don, see what I'm saying? I'm saying maybe he's not in contact with Saquon every day. He doesn't really know, but he heard that they communicated when really it was the agent he communicated with.
Well, I mean, is that something that, you know, Goodell goes, I'm going to need your phone, Saquon. And then does Saquon destroy the phone like Tom Brady did?
Yeah, I think Peter.
Here's more information from the article. And the article is from SI.com, Mark Wogenrich. Penn State coach James Franklin intimated on Tuesday that Howie Roseman directly spoke to Barkley as part of the recruiting process, which focused on the proximity of Philadelphia to Penn State, where Barkley played college football. He said that one of the first things that Howie said to him on the phone as part of his sales pitch, Franklin said via Wogenrich, not only the Philadelphia Eagles and that, but also the connection with Penn State. Well, that's not intimating. He said that Howie said to him on the phone as part of his sales pitch. That's not intimating. He spoke to him on the phone.
Right.
That's tampering.
That would be more... it's more than intimating. He's saying that it happened.
Right.
He doesn't know factually it happened, but he's saying that it happened.
Right. And he's close with Barkley.
Right. So you got to look into it now. How long has Franklin been coach at Penn State already?
Been a long time.
Yeah, someone's going to have to look into that. Wouldn't that be great for the Giants, though?
To get something. I mean, you're not going to void the contract, but maybe you go, okay, you got to give up a second or third round pick.
And all of a sudden, that deal just gets worse for the Eagles?
Why would it get worse if Barkley's great?
No, but would the pick come directly from them?
Yeah.
So that still gets worse for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already a priceless. I mean, they already paid a pretty steep price.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Steve in East Meadow.
Steve-O!
What's up, Steve?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Steve?
All right, I got a thought on, the people always want to know how long the players are going to be out. One, if they want to buy a ticket package, they want to know how long the players are going to be out before they buy a ticket package. And two, they have to, a lot of guys like to bet on how many games they're going to win, how many games are going to be over-unders. The same in football, that's why there's an injury report.
Steve, I mean, what you say makes sense, but you're not going to know yesterday, you're not going to know today what's happening with Gerrit Cole. But I'm sure you'll know by Friday or Saturday. So there'll be plenty of time to purchase ticket packages. There'll be plenty of time to bet the over-under on wins. I mean, it's not like they're going to keep you in the dark the whole year. Fans want information immediately. You're going to get the information on Gerrit Cole. We are going to find out at some point what this situation is. Don't you love when they clean the stands at George M. Steinbrenner Field, Don?
Yeah, I mean, it happens to you, right?
Yeah, so all the time. It's infuriating.
Because I was going to say that, like, being at the ballpark is a lot less of a problem than at the arena with the blaring music and the testing the anthem and all that. I'm like, this is not bad. You get a little Frank Sinatra in the background, so what? But, this was obnoxious, but it looks like they're done.
Have you been working with the great Jack Kestenbaum of Yes?
Yes.
He's one of the great Americans of all time. And one of the great heads of hair. I mean, with you and him in the same booth, that's two of the great heads of hair in the history of the United States.
Yeah, he is a terrific
Speaking of your hair, Don, you want to know something tremendous that I noticed today?
What's that?
When they did the compilation at the Barrett Sports Symposium, if you will, they did the Don Rant compilation, and they showed back-to-back Ed Cranepool and
Fix That.
And Fix That. No, and also the one from this football season.
About the giant who said that the fans don't matter.
Evan.
Yeah, Evan.
Boom! Exactly.
Right, that one.
When they cut from the Ed Cranepool to the Boom, Don, while Cranepool was not in the era that we consider the Repug era,
right,
it was still the end of the Repug era, in that your mustache was still kind of black, but your beard was coming in gray.
And you had no neck.
You were still, how can I say it delicately? Somewhat obese and
corpulent.
And I wanted to use a word that I knew the definition of. And then when it jumped to the Evan Neal room.
Like a different person.
Don, it was like Kenny Rogers in his prime came out. I mean, the beautiful white beard and mustache matching.
It finally hit it. For those that know country, it was like going from Chris Stapleton to Kenny Rogers.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable. I didn't realize. And you know what's such an underrated part of the Ed Cranepool rant? Is that we play the drop, and so everyone remembers Don yelling, "That's cool, man.
That's cool, man."
Yeah.
But they don't appreciate that the context of it was it's an imaginary world where someone gets into a cab. Ed Cranepool is the cab driver.
Right.
And they're so unfamiliar with who he is.
And then he tells them, and they go,
"Wow, that's cool, man. Yeah. You used to play baseball? That's cool, man."
We're working with a genius. Let's be honest. Am I right?
Listen, we raved about the man.
Let's go to Juicy.
That's awesome, dude.
On Route 208. Juicy.
Gentlemen, I am an owner of the Green Bay Packers.
Congratulations, my friend.
Thank
Boss
you.
Man.
And, all right, Juicy.
Thank you.
My old neck of the woods, 208. What town are you in?
I'm in Wyckoff. I just drove past Hawthorne. It's beautiful. They're signed up Don LaGreca Boulevard, you name it. It's great. We love it. Anyway, I'm an owner of the Green Bay Packers. I happen to live in New Jersey. So when all of this trade rigmarole started to happen, I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to listen to this every day of my life on the radio. And I was sad, guys. I was sad. But now the sadness has turned to joy. I love all of this. I want to sniff it up. You know what I mean? I want
sniff
it
dead. Sniff
it dead. I want to listen to all of it. And you know what? Honestly, here's the thing. Great quarterback. He's a good guy. Whatever. It's just like Michael says. It's just all the drama. It's all about him. You can't make it up. You can't get any worse than this. And I just want to say to all Jets fans out there, this is what you wanted. You got it. Enjoy it. If he doesn't win a Super Bowl, it's all for nothing. It's comical. It's ever-changing. Every day it's something new. It never stops. It'll never stop. And, guys, two things. The Jets opted not to take out insurance on his contract. Don't forget that. And number two, he wanted an ownership stake when he came here. When you hear that someone wants an ownership stake, doesn't that put up a red flag? What more do you need to know about
Well, I'm curious, Juicy. When you were the one signing his checks and he was playing for you,
yes.
Did you feel the same way?
Well, you know, Michael, I was happy with the winning. And, you know, when it's happening, you kind of just put it in the back burner and you just let it happen. And you don't think about it. And the problem is now that he's not playing for me personally, because I'm an owner, you really get a chance to see the disaster that it really is. It's not good for anyone. No one wins in this situation. And I just want to say before you guys let me go, Don, I'm a lifetime Devils fan like you. And if Tom Wilson hit Panarin like Rempe hit Siegenthaler, the National Guard would be outside of MSG.
Wow, strong.
Yeah, probably.
I you know what the Rodgers thing with the Jets is like? I mean, I'm going to go really deep here because I've kind of got a little bit of experience with this.
I'm listening.
Not in present day. It's like dating a girl.
Oh, yeah. Good old days.
Drinks a lot.
Oh, I've been there too.
I mean, and it's just heavy lifting.
Yeah.
But there's so much good that comes with it because she's great, but she drinks a lot.
Yeah.
And only after you break up do you realize, wow, that was really a spit show. I mean, I can't believe I lived through that. But when you're in the middle of it, it's like, hey, we're winning. Hey, she's hot. But then you realize what you went through during that time, and it's brutal.
Yeah.
The Jets are going to feel like that. They're going to feel like that.
Well, you hope that they get to the winning part.
Right.
Right now, what they have is, I guess it would be the equivalent of, let's make it easy for everyone, a male or female. Don, all they have right now is the drunken partner. But they're like, bad news. No sex for the next year.
Right.
All I can do is sit around and drink.
Right.
That's all they got for year one.
Right.
So is it going to turn into the winning part? I mean, are they tired of winning yet?
And the problem is you don't even know if you'll get there. You know, oh, no, it'll happen. Don't worry. By the end of the year, we'll be together.
We're going to have the time of our lives. You just hold on. Wait. Hold on. It turns out I might decide to, I don't even know what the equivalent would be for being the vice presidential nominee for RFK, but hard to apply that to a relationship. But this whole thing is ridiculous. And the one thing I really laugh at is, and I feel bad laughing, Don, but I have to, because if not, I'd cry. the Jets fans who like take for granted, like, oh, but next year, you know, we'll get a full season out of him. Will you? What are you talking about? What evidence do you have? All I know is, as we've pointed out, Green Bay was ready to part ways with maybe the greatest quarterback who ever lived. Ready, completely. No hesitation. Move on. We'll take our shot on the guy who's played one game. Turns out they got it right, because that's what the Packers seem to do with quarterbacks. But they were that willing to move on. And then you get a couple of snaps, and here we are. And now you're just going to assume that next year is hunky-dory. Well, good news. The Jets decided to at least not fully assume that, and they have signed Tyrod Taylor. So at least they have some insurance plan. And some, I saw that, Michael, as an admission that they got it wrong last year. They're just saying, we completely botched it. We are going to spend real money on a backup.
Calvin Ridley signing with the Titans for 4 years, $92 million, $50 million fully guaranteed, according to Adam Schefter. Good for Calvin. Don, tell us about BetMGM before we come back and take some calls.
Well, discover BetMGM, the sports betting app New Yorkers turn to for nonstop action, as an official sports betting partner of Madison Square Garden and the New York Knicks and the New York Rangers. BetMGM meets New Yorkers at the world's greatest arena with same-game parlays, exclusive signature bets, and much more all season long. And as an authorized gaming partner of the NBA and an official sports betting partner of the NHL, BetMGM takes the show on the road for excitement every single night. Plus, as an official sports betting partner of the New York Jets, BetMGM makes every football game day seem like the best it can be. Download the BetMGM app today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for T's and C's. Must be 21 plus of age or to wager. New York and New Jersey only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available in New Jersey. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 878-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we are excited about this. Join the Michael K. Show for a live Big East broadcast on Friday, March 15th, starting at 3 p.m. at the Rutherford, a rooftop restaurant on 33rd Street across from Madison Square Garden. There'll be plenty of ESPN swag given away and a chance to score Big East tournament tickets. See the K. Show live with special Big East guests at the Rutherford on 33rd Street this Friday, starting at 3 p.m. Brought to you by Sam Adams, Truly Hard Seltzer, Schweppes, and Nissan. It's such a big deal that Don, flying in from Pittsburgh just for the day.
The man's level of commitment.
Of care.
It's unfriggin' believable. Don, you know what we're going to do?
What are we doing?
So are you getting like a car service back to the airport immediately after? How's that
work? No, I'll take the train.
Oh, you're...
Because we're going to be right there by Penn Station. I'll just hop on a train. My flight's at like 9:40, so we have time to break bread if you like.
Your flight's at 9:40 from where?
Newark.
From Newark? Just to jump on the old NJ Transit?
That's right.
So you'd probably have to be on the train safely, what time, 7:30?
Yeah.
Something like that?
No, I can't go. I mean, if I was able to stay, I'd go to the game. Because it could be UConn-St. John's.
Could be.
But I have to go to a thing for my kid's school.
Oh. Well, Don, at the very least, I think at the very least, we should have an old-fashioned like gentleman.
I would enjoy that.
Wouldn't that be nice? I think we're going to do that.
So I got to tell you this story.
Go ahead, and I'm listening.
My daughter is, there isn't an argument that she doesn't want to have. It's kind of like Don. Right. If something could be debated, she's going to debate it. If you say, by the way, the sky is blue, she's going to say, but there's a lot more white in there with the clouds. You know, it's just, that's her. She's built that way. And it's going to be a joy as she gets older. So anyway, she's 11. She's in fifth grade. And so she hangs out with a bunch of her friends, and the big thing that Jody and I are constantly fighting is she buys these little midriff shirts that her stomach is out, and Jody doesn't let her go to school with it.
We're going there, huh?
All right.
We're going there, Don.
So
yeah,
two of her friends. So at the least, she might have a one of these shirts that, you know, borders around the stomach, but she always has a sweatshirt over. That's the orders. We make her wear a sweatshirt.
Then what's the purpose of the shirt?
I'm sure that when they're outside, whatever. But again, this day, two of her friends go out to the recess, and they're essentially wearing sports bras. They're 11 years old. So the teacher, who's a great guy, comes over to them and says, you got to cover up. I can't have you be out here like this. I mean, the boys are... I want you to put... They refused. You're infringing on our rights. Yeah. Callie then comes over and said, I will not stand for this. She opens up her sweatshirt and rolls up her shirt in unison, in unity with her girlfriends. I can't wait till I get home tonight. I am so furious right now. Hold on, though. Again, I'm raising Norma Ray.
Hold on one second. And I'm sure everyone over the age of 80 appreciates that. Will you explain, take us through what the strategy here is going to be? Because if you just come home spitting, what's the word?
Fire.
Spitting fire or spitting, there's another thing, vinegar, whatever it is.
Right.
You may not deliver the message you're looking to deliver. What is, because you said you can't wait. Does that mean A, you just want to yell, or B, you have a fantastic point to deliver
the
message?
Well, my point is going to be, it's not for you to sit there and fight the rights of it. If a teacher tells you something, you do what the teacher says. You don't sit there and roll up your shirt in unity with your girlfriends who are dead wrong for wearing essentially a sports bra out on the playground.
Well, see, but that part's important, right, Don? Because you could view it. You know, let's say someone was getting picked on by someone for something that they could use support on.
Right.
You have to admire Callie for wanting to do that. But this cause, you're saying, is not a worthy cause.
Right. And also, I keep saying you don't want to wear those sorts of shirts. But she's 11 years old, so you're not telling her exactly why, boys would think. So you're kind of dancing around that. I think today's the day I'm going to tell her exactly what boys think and why you can't dress like that.
It might be Michael, honestly, it sounds like 11. But
11 is now like the old 15.
But especially if this is the way that they're thinking, I mean, it might be time for the talk. And if it's time for the talk, you're the first father ever that can't wait to have it.
Well, he didn't know that's what he was
talking
about.
I think if you're going to have that discussion of why, because she's going to want to know why.
I'm a woman, I'm allowed to do what I want to do. I'm going to tell her. I think today's the day I'm going to tell her. And now she doesn't get to wear any of those shirts, even under a sweatshirt. Those are out. We're going to throw them out tonight. Out. In the garbage.
Well, so real quick, I think it's an important question. What does mom say about it?
Jody is furious about it. Furious about the fact that every time we take her out to buy clothes, it's got to be a short shirt. Short shirt that's way too tight.
Now, I don't want to.
She's 11.
Who are they modeling this off of?
Jody said it's what they see. It's what they see on social media. It's what's these kind of clothes are sold to girls in every single store. 11-year-olds, 10-year-olds to wear like these crop tops. They want to show their belly button. I'll give you a belly button.
Well, it might be better for Jody to have this conversation because maybe she can tap into some personal experience that she went through when she was younger that can apply. And then you can kind of flavor it with, listen, I was the boys that... that saw this.
But I didn't see it.
I was thinking.
Like, you know, me, I'm the outlier. It was. Yeah, I didn't even see it until college.
It's a great point. Maybe she goes to school with all Michael Kay. She's fine.
There's belly buttons all over the place, and all Michael cared about were boxers.
You know what I think is maybe a good message here? You know, Ebro, I don't want to speak out of school, but I'm pretty sure he did this. I think he did this on the air. Let me be clear. But he had a family member, I won't be specific about who, family member in town, Don, who was like a 15-year-old girl.
Right.
And the girl was wearing one of those outfits on the subway that I'm sure, Michael, you've also seen, where they wear the shirt that's so short that when they wear the shorts are so short that they wear the sweatshirt and it looks like they're nude.
Yes. Right.
So they're wearing a sweatshirt, but it looks like they're naked.
We've had to deal with that, too.
So Ebro and his family member, who included this child, who's 15 now, they were on the subway together. And the dad, who's Ebro's close family member, doesn't say anything about it. And Ebro said to this person in his life, what the hell's going on with the sweatshirt? What are you doing here? And he said, I like it. I wear the dress this way around my friends. And I thought Ebro handled it well. He explained to her, he said, I understand maybe that you wear it to when she's 15. You wear it around your friends among people you know and you feel safe. Are you aware of what you're conveying on the train to weirdos in New York? You are on the subway with strangers and having a real conversation about not only, because you're talking more like reputationally what it implies, there's also a physical danger aspect.
Of course.
I mean, there's a lot of real things that unfortunately we are forced to share with kids at a young age because they may be in harm's way.
Because this is what I would do. Listen, clothes are a form of expression to show who you are and how you think. Are you ready to convey that message?
Do you know the message that you're conveying?
Right. Yeah. First of all, do you know the message? And second of all, are you? Can you handle that? Are you okay with that being the vibe that you're sending out? Now, Callie, we obviously know you can handle yourself. You're tough. You're intelligent. But I just want to let you know that from personal experience, is that the kind of vibe you want to send out
there? And in this case, Michael will be answering for her at 11. No, it's not.
Do you know when we were having our meeting at 2:30 and Don's via Zoom? I left.
Oh, that's
room.
What that call was.
Well, I was talking to the principal of the school.
By the way, if you had heard Don, no context, what me and Brouncher heard with Michael on the phone with Jody in the hallway, it was, I mean, Brouncher and I had no idea what's going on. We just heard a sentence that made us both almost fall over.
Right.
It was tremendous. Animated, I would describe it as.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not even, we're arguing. We're in lockstep.
No, you're both just yelling.
We are just so angry that this child, all she does is fight about everything.
Well, but here's my question. And again, you're a parent. When do you draw the line and go, all right, you did something. Here are the very direct repercussions. You're not seeing your phone for a week. You're not like, when do you start?
Well, last week she had her stuff taken. She doesn't have a phone. If she had a phone. Oh.
So what do you take away then if there's
her
phone?
iPad for the weekend. They're allowed to use their iPad Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. So they were on it the entire weekend, both of them. So that got taken away. So then she plants herself in front of a TV. I said, you know, try reading a book. Oh, no. Let's go to Michael in New Jersey. Michael.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I wanted to maybe just make a small argument for Rogers.
Okay.
You guys give him a hard time, you know, calling the nozzle, all this stuff. It's probably in good fun, whatever. But, like, Mike, you keep yourself in pretty high regard, you know, with your big vocabulary and
stuff.
He's
very smart.
I'm sure when you enter a room, you kind of size it up and you'd be like, hey, I'm one of the smartest guys in this room. Not telling tales out of school, but imagine being Rodgers. Before Mahomes came along, I had Rodgers as the best complete package at quarterback that I've ever seen. I went to school with Don, so I'm 55. So if he's not one, maybe he's 2, 3, or 4. I don't know, but he's in the top 4 or 5. In
absolutely.
The greatest.
We all agree on that.
We agree on that, yes.
Yeah, okay, so imagine him being passed over in high school, passed over in junior college, passed over in college. Gets to the NFL, he's got to sit behind Brett Favre. Brett Favre plays all these games with him. Here's this guy with this incredible ability, and he feels at every turn since he's probably 13, he's been passed over, which makes him feel he knows so much more than everybody else judging him. And again, I'm not an apologist for him. I'm not trying to be a psychologist. I work in finance, so. But I just feel like, man, this guy has a chip on his shoulder for an obvious reason.
But Michael, wouldn't you agree the person that you just described, Michael, is Tom Brady.
It could be like
right?
Brady.
So Brady had a chip on his shoulder, but did he come off as like, and by the way, I'm not like that. I don't go and look in a room and see size anybody. I don't think I'm better than anybody. Aaron Rodgers believes he's smarter than the world.
Well, but the thing, Michael,
that's
is.
That's just your opinion. Mike, that's just your opinion.
But you can hear the way he talks, Michael.
But you have to. I mean, come on.
We hear the way you talk as well.
But hold on.
Well, just because I use words that might be looked at as you know, bigger words. I'm not telling you all these conspiracy theories. I'm not that smart.
But
I'm not smarter than a doctor.
You talk down your host. Your co-host sometimes.
But I hate to defend Michael. I hate to defend Michael, but he rarely talks down seriously to anyone. And Roger, and listen, but when you listen to Rogers, I'll let you answer. When you listen to Rogers talk, you and the tone he has when he sits back there and he pontificates and goes, hey, you know, if you just look at blah blah blah, I mean, I don't know, I did blah blah blah. You don't find it stylistically that he's clearly believes he's kind of smarter than everybody he's talking to?
I don't know. I can't really say for sure, but I would venture to guess if you asked him, do you think you're the smartest guy in the room, he'd probably deny it the same way Michael just did.
But they're not the same. Like
I
said,
Michael, I mean, the fact that you're even drawing a comparison, I thank you for the phone call. Don and Peter always joke with me, on the air and off the air, I should swing around. I don't even think of myself like that in real life. I'm not even close to the smartest guy in the room. You're knocking me, Michael, because I have a decent vocabulary and I got a good education? I don't hold that over anybody. Aaron Rodgers is all about just showing you that he's smarter than you. But I know more about vaccines than doctors. I know more about conspiracies. I know more about 9/11 than the people that were actually part of it. I know all of that. I never do stuff like that. To even compare it to me is insulting.
Not to mention that, on top of that, this is one of the biggest issues that the Rodgers defenders cannot forget. Unfortunately, and again, he was a delight when we had him on our show. But unfortunately, he was also very disingenuous. He's disingenuous when he tells you that he's following protocols, and he's not.
Yeah, he lied.
He lied. He was the leader of his team. All of his teammates had to go do what they had to do. He lied. The rules were different for him. He also says things like, at the end of the regular season, we need to make sure we cut out all the noise. You're the biggest source of noise on this team.
But what I don't understand Michael's point about, you know, being passed over, having to wait behind Brett Favre, and now being
Michael the caller.
But Michael the caller and being surpassed by Patrick Mahomes as the greatest quarterback in the league. Being the smartest man in the room and running for vice president isn't going to change the narrative. He's being judged as a quarterback. So why doesn't he focus on being the best quarterback he can be? Do you think anybody in football cares how smart he is or the vaccine stuff? They want to see him ball out on the field. So if he feels like he's being disrespected, running for vice president is not going to gain respect. And also, being the smartest man in the room is not going to be respect. Go out on the field and win the Super Bowl for the New York Jets, and that's it.
And last thing, I know we got a break. Furthermore, of all the people who I need to feel bad in this league who have a chip on their shoulder, do you realize that every quarterback who makes it to the NFL who is not Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen is in some way a huge being seen in their own eyes as not a real representation of who they were all the best player in high school. They were the best player in college. Now they're not getting. What about Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins got drafted in the fourth round to go back up a guy that he turned out to be much better than. The team would not commit to him, so they franchised him three times in a row. He gets to Minnesota, still gets thought of as a complete loser, no matter what he does. Does he ever have a crossword for anyone or ever have to act like he's better than anyone?
And it's also hard to love Tom Brady. Tom Brady couldn't start in college. All the years he was there. He started out the seventh-string quarterback. He was a six-round draft pick. He was the fourth quarterback on the Patriots his first year. He's got a lot to have a chip on his shoulder about, and he doesn't act like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's true, too. And he's this cool, good-looking dude, married to a model, all those things. He still never acted like he was better than the room.
We got Commanders news.
Actually?
Yep. Former Seahawks perennial pro bowler and all-pro linebacker Bobby Wagner signing with the Commanders on a one-year deal worth a max value of $8.5 million.
Is Bobby Wagner still good?
He's okay. He's not prime Wagner.
I'm not mad about putting him in the locker room. Like right. When you're trying to build a new team, I'm not mad about having that guy in your locker room.
Don, how about some Samwell?
Well, friends, go see my friend, Dr. Jay Shah. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It is time to reclaim your active lifestyle. Call our friend, Dr. Jay Shah, today at Samwell Pain. Dr. Jay Shah treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, nerve pain. Dr. Shah is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, scars, incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shah to take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without pain medications. Enjoy life pain-free. Same day and next day appointments available. Go to samwellpain.com. Put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shah. Go to samwellpain.com. Regain your active lifestyle. Enjoy all of your favorite activities pain-free. Samwell Pain now has three convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit samwellpain.com today. You'll wish you met Dr. Shah sooner. Most major insurance are accepted.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The Point God.
You have made no good. What do you think it is, Peter?
You're so Garrett Cole related to you.
Let's see. You made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're here. Here we go. If the Jets don't win the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers,
this whole experiment was the worst thing that has ever happened to this franchise.
Example of the toxicity is what's going on with the vice presidential aspirations with RFK. You might say, well, that's not Aaron Rodgers' fault. Yeah, it is Aaron Rodgers' fault. It absolutely is. If they come to him and say, are you interested in this? You shut it down and go, I'm the quarterback of the Jets. I can't do this. I've told people publicly I want to play 2 or 3 more years. I don't even want my name out there. And now the RFK people put his name out there with his knowledge, and he didn't shut it down because all he cares about is being in the spotlight and being that guy. He has destroyed and will continue to destroy everything about the Jet organization. He better win. Now, I'm going to say something, and you're going to say I'm being dramatic. Okay, but I believe this, Don and Peter, I really do.
Right.
That last phone caller, if that's what I put across on the air, then I have failed miserably as a broadcaster. That guy could think that I'm that guy that lords over people, that thinks I'm smarter than people, and because I have a vocabulary that I work on and that I took a lot of pride in college and high school, that makes me that nozzle. This is what comes out of the speakers for people.
I don't like hearing it. It's unfortunate.
I failed. If Michael from wherever thinks that, he kept saying, I'm so far from Aaron Rodgers.
And not just in arm talent.
He also forgot the most important thing.
What's that?
You're performative. So when you talk down to us, we all know that, you know, sometimes it's irritating, but for the most part, it's all just in fun.
Well, Peter said this at the summit today when we were on stage. He said, I say, Michael, you're a moron on the air every day. If I'm the person that guy Michael, would I allow that? And also, talk about off the air. Do I treat? Forget it. What am I even defending myself?
You can't.
It just bothers me that for that guy, that's what's coming out of the speaker. I failed. Yeah. I failed as a broadcaster.
I think he was just trying to make the point that you do enjoy letting people know how smart you are. And that's all he was trying to say. Aaron Rodgers is trying to point out
I
am.
For, as you say, we have fun on the show. I don't think I would allow Peter to go, "You're a moron" to me off the air.
No.
That would not allow. It would be too late.
Yeah, but then I'd punch you in the face. I can't do that on the show.
I don't think any of us, Michael, never mind what kind of power you have.
I don't have any power.
Would want to be told, you know, that you're a moron.
Yeah, well, actually,
in general, you know, conversation, that would not go over.
No, that would be rude. I wouldn't do that in real life.
Brian Hoke of MLB.com. Aaron Judge penciled in to return center field on Saturday against the Blue Jays. Aaron Boone said, working plan is to have Judge skip the Fort Myers trip on Sunday, then play again on Monday against the Phillies. Now, the New York Post is reporting that Gerrit Cole is already in L.A. He was spotted at LAX airport to visit Dr. Neil Eletroch. Let's go into Sal in Soho. Sal.
Michael, how you doing?
Great. How you doing, Sal?
Don and Peter, what's up? What's Michael, up? I met you at ESPN. I don't know if you remember me, the cupcake guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I would love to get you guys all cupcake. I met Peter, too, at an event in the Bowery Street in Soho over here, and I gave him a pecan pie. I have little cupcake bake shop in Soho.
Oh, I absolutely remember. A delight.
Those cupcakes were so good. He brought them to a K-Rod broadcast once.
Yeah, tremendous.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, very wonderful. Yeah. Amazing work you're doing.
A couple of points I want to make. Michael, and I remember telling you this, you know, I have to say, you're listening to you to go opposite of what somebody else was saying is like listening to a master class sometimes. And I always say this about you to people. I go, this guy is unbelievable, the way he speaks, the way his journalism is, the way you question things with the Dolan interview, with Larry David interview, with other things. And I just want to say it's like listening to you every day. I don't know if people tell you this enough. It's honestly like listening to anybody that knows sports, really knows sports, is like listening to a master class, like a teacher professing of what they went through and how you hold your interviews and talk to people.
Well, thank you.
I don't know if you hear that enough.
No, I certainly didn't hear in the last phone call. I appreciate the compliment, Sal. Joe in Connecticut. Joe.
Yeah, hey, Mike, interesting story about your daughter, but, you know, it's interesting, and this is, you know, commentary on society in general, and it's kind of timely today with Congress trying to pass legislation to ban or divest TikTok.
Yeah, I read that.
You know, and it's, you know, and people will say, oh, it's for security, it's the Chinese government, it's cybersecurity. The Chinese government's been able to track everyone in the United States for years. The Chinese government is trying to dumb down a generation of young Americans, and, you know, with social media, and you could say that about a lot of other platforms. But the other point with your daughter is, it's this whole issue around forgetting about the, you know, the clothing and what it implies and everything like that. It's the authority, challenging authority.
Oh, unbelievable. I could never do that to my parents.
My parents, and I'm the same as you, like, it's in grade inflation. You know, everyone's got a 4.0 average or A average. And kids and parents challenging grades. Did you ever do that when you were a kid? Did your parents ever challenge a grade with a teacher?
No, and but you know what? We never do that, Joe, with our kids either. If they get a grade, they get a grade. And we tell them to work harder if they don't get a great grade.
Real quick, do you think this could cause any distraction? CNN has an article up right now because they're following along with it's under the headline of RFK Jr.'s VP prospect, Aaron Rodgers. Headline, has shared false Sandy Hook conspiracy theories in private conversations. And they go on to tell a story about Rodgers meeting a journalist after the Kentucky Derby. And these years ago, it says in 2013. Hearing that she was a journalist for CNN, Rodgers immediately began attacking the news media for covering up important stories. Rodgers brought up the tragic killing of 20 children and 6 adults by a gunman at Sandy Hook Elementary School, claiming it was actually a government inside job and the media was intentionally ignoring it. These are the sorts of conversations that will come up as you allow these things to go forward without putting it away.
Right.
because now people are going to discuss who this guy really is and dig into some of the insane things that he actually thinks.
The guy made comments about 9/11 too. That's why it was a big thing that he came out and led the team on the field during 9/11 this year.
I didn't even think about it from that standpoint when he came out with the American flag. But you know what? As crazy as it is, 9/11 conspiracies are one thing. The result of it isn't questioned, though, right?
Right.
The result of it, whether you have some theory in your head that it was an inside job or what happened, why did Building 7 go down, all of those things, say whatever you want. No one questions what the result was.
Mm-hmm.
When you have real life families in this era, in this area, who suffered the way they did, and people who suggest that everyone's an actor.
Didn't it cost that guy?
Alex Jones?
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah. And like, to me, this isn't a political conversation. This is just, you're talking about pure crazy talk.
Yeah.
These are now the conversations you have to have because this is the world that he's involved in.
He believes a lot of the stuff that you go about people. Oh, well, they're wearing tin hats. I mean, that's why Jimmy Kimmel said what he said. And that led to him saying about Jimmy Kimmel and the Epstein list. I mean, Aaron brings a lot of baggage and brings a great quarterbacking arm and mind.
And real quick, though, with that quarterbacking arm, just so far, how many completions so far?
None.
What about touchdowns?
Nothing.
Got it.
That's for the Jets, but he does have a Super Bowl. When I'm getting ready for a game, I have to be prepared. I have my lineup cards, the latest team stats, and, of course, my mug of Bigelow tea. For me, it's Bigelow Earl Grey with a smooth taste that keeps my voice in peak condition even when the game goes into extra innings. I refuse to settle, and neither should you. No matter how hectic your day gets, grab your favorite Bigelow tea and take a moment just for you. So grab a mug of your favorite Bigelow tea. Join the millions of fans that make Bigelow number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.